Now, if you're at primary school or perhaps preschool, I'd like to invite you to come and help me with the talk. And perhaps Andy could put out some cushions here. So if you'd like to, and you're at primary school or preschool, I've got some posters for you to hold, and there's something else for you to look after as well. So please come forward now and take a seat here, and you'll be able to help me with our talk together this morning. Thank you very much. And I've got four things in particular for people to look after. So can I give you that to look after, please? Can I give you this one to look after, please? And I'd like to give you this. Can you see what it is in there? Don't tell anyone, but see what that is. And I'd like to give you this to look after. Okay, thank you very much. Take your seats there. That's perfect. Shall we pray for God's help as we look at his word together? Risen Lord Jesus, you came close to your disciples and you opened their minds to understand. Please come close to us as we reflect on your word and open our minds and hearts to your message for us. Amen. Well, I want us to think today about the evening of the first Easter Sunday. At the start of the first Easter Sunday, Jesus' friends, his disciples, were very sad. It was a sad day for them at the start of the day. Jesus had died and they'd buried him in a tomb like this. It was also sad for them because they had been hoping that Jesus was God's promised king who would reign forever. They'd been hoping that Jesus was the one who would make friends between people and God and who one day would make everything perfect again. But when Jesus died and was buried, it seemed like maybe he wasn't God's promised king after all. So it was a sad and difficult day for Jesus' friends. But God had a wonderful surprise ready for them. So we read in the Bible that on the evening of that first day, they were all together in one place when Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now the disciples couldn't believe their eyes. They knew that Jesus had died and been buried in a tomb, and now here he was coming into the room and speaking to them. And I've got a picture of what it might have looked like here. Shall we hold it up so the grown-ups can see as well? Let me hold it right up. In the front of the picture there is Jesus risen from the tomb, come to be with them. And can you see the look on the disciples' faces? We're told that they were shocked, they were startled, they were frightened. Can you see their mouths are hanging open? And one of them, he's hiding under the table because it was such a shock and surprise when Jesus came to be with them. And to start with, the disciples couldn't believe their eyes. They thought it can't really be him. And so Jesus had to persuade them that it was him and he'd come back from the dead. Now, imagine if you didn't believe that I was really here. Imagine if you thought I wasn't really here. The first thing I might say to you is, "Hello, can you hear me? Use your ears. Can you hear? I'm really here." And then I might say, "Use your eyes. Can you see me? Can you see that I'm really here?" And then last of all, I might say, "You can touch me and feel that I'm really here. Does anyone want to feel my hand and see if I'm really here? Can you feel the skin? And can you feel my bones in my fingers? Can you feel the bones in there? Could you feel them? Yeah." And then you think, he is really here. We've felt his skin and bones, we've seen him and we've heard him. In our gospel reading, Jesus did just that with his disciples. He said, "It really is me. You can see me, you can hear me." And he even said, "Touch me and feel my skin and bones." But we're told that even then, the disciples could not believe it because of joy and amazement. And so Jesus said to his disciples, "Have you got anything to eat?" Now, do any of you have something to eat? Yes, let's have a look. What do you have in there? It's a fish finger. Can you open it up? Yeah. So this is very convenient. We have here a fish finger, perfectly cooked. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Have you got something to eat?" They said, "Yes, we've got a piece of broiled fish or a fish finger." And he took the broiled fish or finger, and before their very eyes, he ate it. Does that persuade you that I'm really here now? Seeing me eat this fish finger, half of it's gone. Can we put it back in there? That is a bit fishy. Now, grown-ups. Yeah. Surprisingly dry, actually, often. The point for us to notice here from the Gospel accounts is that those disciples were not expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. They weren't expecting it even more than we were. They had to be convinced. They had to be persuaded, just as we would be. And it's as if they tell us in the Gospel accounts, look, something unique happened. Something amazing happened. We couldn't believe it either, but we couldn't deny it either. We were persuaded by our eyes, by our ears. We touched him. We felt his skin and bones. We even saw him eat a piece of fish. They're saying this is what persuaded us that Jesus had risen from the tomb. He really died, and he really came back to life with a real body, but a better body that would never die again. And I bet as Jesus and his friends sat around eating, they were so happy that their hearts were singing within them. And I bet from time to time, they had to reach out and touch him to check that he was really there and that their eyes weren't deceiving him. So that's what persuaded the disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead. It was no vision, no hallucination, no spectral apparition. Their senses persuaded them. Now, as the disciples thought about Jesus rising again from the tomb, over time they realized that it gave them reasons for faith, hope, and love. So we're going to take this tomb to pieces and see what's written on the other side. Could I have two helpers? Yes, you two, girls, up you come. Can you see? It comes into three bits. Actually, we could have one more helper. Yes. Let me give you the first bit here. Oh, you've got the big bit. There we go. And there's one more bit. Oh. There we go. He rose again from the tomb, and Jesus, the disciples realized that this gave them a foundation for a new life. Now come over, girls, and we're going to stick them up so people can see what's on the other side. Who has the one that says Jesus really is God's King? Yes, you do. Let's stick that one at the top. Who has the one that says we have a future? You have. Let's stick that one in the middle. It's a bit like a puzzle. And I think the last one says we've got a job or something like that. That one will have to go at the bottom. Perfect. Thank you. And you can sit down again, girls. Thank you very much. So the disciples realized that Jesus, rising from the tomb, first of all showed that he really is God's King. Remember, they'd been hoping this was the one at last who would restore friendship between people and God and one day make everything good again. When he died, it seemed like maybe he wasn't. But when he rose from the dead, it confirmed that Jesus really is God's King. It gave them a reason for faith. But the resurrection also gave them a reason for hope. It showed them that we have a future with Jesus. Jesus defeated death and gives his followers life after death too. For now, we Christians experience the same as everyone else. We experience sickness and difficulties, perhaps at school or at work, sadness, bereavement, just like everyone else does. But Jesus' followers look forward to a future with him in heaven, with no more sadness or separation or suffering. The disciples realized the resurrection gave them a reason for hope, a future beyond the grave with Jesus. But the third thing they realized is it gave them a job to do. In fact, it gave them a new job. Now, folks, have a look on the communion table, and I have stuck eight different jobs up there. And I want you to think, first of all, I'm going to ask you in a second, are there any of those jobs that you would like to do when you grow up? And then question number two, which of those jobs do you think I wanted to do when I was your age? But first of all, can any of you see a job there that you would like to do when you grow up? Any of them? Shall I read out what they are? On the end here, a ship's captain. Ooh. be a good job, a ballerina, a prime minister, a doctor, a vicar, a builder, a fireman, or a teacher. Do any of those, would any of you like to do any, what would you like? Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it? What about you? A teacher. What about you? A teacher. What about you? A ballerina, yes. And which of those jobs do you think I might have wanted to do when I was at school? What do you think?
Vicar.
Well, perhaps. What about you? What do you think I wanted to do? A fireman. Actually, it does sound quite nice. Let me tell you, when I was at primary school, I wanted to do this job and be the Prime Minister. I thought I was the man to run the country. When I was at secondary school, I wanted to be a ship's captain. And then by the time I left the university, I wanted to be a vicar in the Church of England. One has some sympathy for my parents going through that process of future planning. Well, when Jesus rose again, he gave his disciples and he gave his followers today a new job. And that's what the second half of our gospel reading was about. Jesus said to them, look, all of this has been written in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms, the Old Testament. He said it was written that the Messiah would suffer, would die for our sins. It was written that he would rise again, as he did. And then, verse 47, that repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then he says, you are witnesses of these things. Jesus is saying, now he's risen, in every country in the world, the message of repentance and forgiveness of his sins in his name is going to ring out. Repentance, that is, turning from sin and back to God, turning away from a life lived independently of God and to a life of dependence and obedience on God. It's the message of repentance and the message of forgiveness of sins in his name, that as we do that, because of what Jesus did for us, dying and rising again, the slate is wiped clean and we can be friends with God again. Jesus said that message would be preached in all nations. Isn't it amazing to see in history that that has come true? That in every country around the world, that message of repentance and forgiveness of sins has gone out. And Jesus said to his friends, his disciples, you are my witnesses. Now they were in a very special way. They saw and touched the risen Jesus and they told people about it. But actually, all of Jesus' people are to be his witnesses. Down the centuries, the church at its best has not been looking in, but looking out to share the message of what Jesus has done with the world around. What part does God want us to play in that great plan, I wonder? Well, we have on the back here this new job that we've been given. We are Jesus' witnesses. And we might wonder, how can we do that? Well, there are three parts to it at least. And the first part is shown by the picture that you have, the picture of the heart. So let's bring that up. And we're going to stick that at the top. Thank you very much. Being Jesus' witnesses, it starts with the life we live. Again and again, people say it was the Christ-like life of a friend or family member that first caused them to think about the Christian message. How can we show the kindness and the care of Christ to people around us? It starts with the life, but it continues, Soph, with the poster that you have. So let's bring that up. Oh, lazy bones, let me take that from you. And we're going to stick that one here. Will it go? It begins with, well, it continues with taking opportunities to speak. To speak to people of what Christ has done for us and what he means to us. Maybe there are ways in RE, RS, religious studies, religious education at school, that we can say to people, I believe this. I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again. Maybe we can invite people to join us, for instance, at that combined service with the school on the 10th of May. But ways we can speak about Jesus, always remembering to do it with kindness and respect. Starts with the life we live, it continues with the words we say, and then the third one, yes. Thank you. All the while praying. I wonder, are there one or two people who each of us could pray for regularly? Because in the end, it's not our lives or our arguments that bring people to faith, but the work of God in their lives. So we are Jesus's witnesses in the life we live, the words we say, and the way we pray. Well, folks, as we finish, remember how those disciples felt on the morning of the first Easter Sunday. They felt so sad and bereaved. They also felt like the foundation of their lives had been whipped out from under them. They'd been trusting that Jesus was the Messiah. Now it seemed maybe he wasn't. And actually, we'll all have times where we have that experience, where we feel like that, lost and bereaved. And that's where the message of Easter comes to us, the message of the resurrection, that Jesus Christ rose again, giving us a reason for faith. He really is God's King. A reason for hope. We have a future with Jesus. And also a reason for love. We have a job to do, to be his witnesses to the world around. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it brings the disciples, it brings us, in the midst of the disappointments and sadness of life, a foundation for faith, for hope, and for love. Amen.